The history of the Catholic Church in Australia goes back to the earliest days of the colony. Irish Catholic convicts came with the first fleet, while the first priests arrived a decade or more later as convicts. Now, a new archive of rare books, manuscripts and artefacts documents that history. One of those responsible for pulling this collection together is Hugh Myers. He's the Special Collections Advisor with the Australian Catholic University Libraries Directorate. Welcome to Breakfast.
Good morning.
How did this collection come about?
In 2017, I was approached by the Vice-Chancellor, Professor Greg Craven, who, as a part of the Arts and Culture Initiative of the University, was putting together a rare book collection and invited me to come on board. And I was previously an antiquarian bookseller, so that's my experience.
And how did you go about acquiring such historic items? And did you have a wish list?
Everyone has a desiderata, which is a list of the books we want. Most of them are not available because they are truly rare. So it's a matter of just eliminating what's on the market and seeking it out through booksellers in Australia and in Europe.
And I mean, a lot of the books and manuscripts, because there's a huge list here, and I'll just pick a couple that really appeal to me. They're not only significant to the Catholic Church, but to the wider Australian history. And I imagine some of these items very difficult to acquire.
Their availability is sporadic, so when they come along, we've got to jump on them. And yeah, it's good fun building this collection.
And you've acquired more than 1,000 items for the collection. What are the more notable items in your mind?
I have a few favourites, one of which is a group of publications by one of the first priests who came to Australia. His name was André Monguez. Hmm. He sailed with La Perouse and they arrived at what is now presently La Perouse.
In southern Sydney?
Yes, near Sydney, within weeks of the arrival of the First Fleet. There were two priests on board. One died in Australia from an injury he sustained in Samoa. The other, his companion André Monguez, sailed off and they all tragically were wrecked in the Solomon Islands. The interesting thing about these two men is that they were not only priests, but they were scientists. And so I've been able to put together a range of books on chemistry, meteorology, a pamphlet on surgery.
Amazing.
All published before they left for Australia in 1785.
Look, can I tell you the one that really struck me were early books on Australian Indigenous languages by John Brady and Daniel Bunce. John Brady, a 19th century Benedictine pioneer, and Daniel Bunce, a lay Catholic botanist and explorer who travelled with Ludwig Leichhardt on his second inland expedition of 1846. Mm. And they authored these pocket-sized handbooks of Aboriginal dialects.
Yeah, the interesting thing is that priests often had the best command of Indigenous languages because they translated the gospel into those languages and also gave sermons. And so there is a printing footprint that follows that part of the history.
How interesting. Yeah. And with, you know, the really revival there now of which Radio National is talking about, you know, of trying to bring back languages and to know that this did exist. Obviously, there was a sort of a whole gap in between. You also look at a book of poems that were written for the Irish newspaper, The Nation, which include poems written in Australia, such as The Boomerang, an Australian love song. Many of the early Catholics were of Irish stock. Is this really a history of Ireland as much as it's a history of the Catholic Church in Australia?
That's a very fair question because a third of the convicts who came to Australia in chains were Irish Catholics. Most of them stayed, but there is a very intimate history between Ireland and Australia. And so to build a history of books and manuscripts about Australian Catholicism ties into the many themes that are happening in Irish history, effectively sending convicts to Australia was a way of stopping a revolution from happening in Ireland in the decade prior to the the Great Famine, and
They postponed it for about 80 years.
For about 80 years.
then they got it big time. Now, you've been busy building this. We could go on, but look, sure. We'll tell people that they have a chance to take a sneak peek of this collection. Where is it on display and when will it officially open?
The official launch of the collection is tonight. We have had a room refurbished in the library of the Australian Catholic University at North Sydney. And we'll be moving the collection in there over the coming weeks and months. So we welcome people to come and take a look. And it will also be available digitally as a part of our intention to make it accessible to researchers who are not in Sydney.
And it's a standing collection, like it's not going to move in and out. And are you going to bring in, you know, extra special exhibitions from time to time?
Possibly in the future, but the intention is to acquire things and to keep them as a permanent assets of the university.
It's a terrific idea. What are the ambitions for this collection? I mean, are you still on the hunt?
The hunt never ends because the books are always elusive. One of the primary challenges is to represent the history of people who were denied an authorial voice in the 19th century.
Who were marginalised, really.
Yeah, principally women and Indigenous people in Australia, and many of the Irish who were illiterate. And so this means doing more research on books and published things to find out the deeper story behind them and to create a collection of printed things that includes the history of people who are denied access to publishing.
Mm. I hope you don't also, dare I say, include the history of some of those big movers and shakers too, because it's an extraordinary history, and I've often felt that it ought to be highlighted much more imaginatively.
Yeah, I'm sort of quite new to it myself, but I'm learning as I go along. So,
and who do you imagine will use this collection, really?
We hope that it will be used by academic researchers both in Australia and overseas. And by digitising it, it has the capacity to reach people who are not just in Sydney. Ultimately, the more manuscripts and eclectic material that comes into it, then the broader its scope.
Now, I know that you're an antiquarian bookseller and used to these things, but are you getting excited by it? Like, has it surprised you, in a sense, what is on offer there?
It pleases me to find out about things and then to be able to find them. And, for example, the priest I mentioned earlier, André Monguez, he was primarily a geologist, but like many scientists of his era, and like many of the other men who sailed with La Perouse, he had his fingers in many pies and could do many things. And to find a very rare book that he published on how to treat complex fractures was good fun.
It's amazing, isn't it?
This is now copy number 3. There are 2 copies in French libraries. Okay. So this is the 3rd.
Well, look, that's something to look forward to. Thank you indeed, Hugh Myers.
Thank you very much for having me.
Hugh Myers, the Special Collections Advisor with the Australian Catholic University's Libraries Directorate, and watch out for that opening up in North Sydney.